I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 563, the not box office report for the week ending March 29th.
Nothing has been more apropos than that statement.
And I love that necessarily it's just gone now.
Well, because there isn't one. That's why when we first started calling them not box office reports, I'm like, but we're still talking about the box office. So like, I don't like that. And so that's why I added the necessarily. It's not necessarily the box office report because there will be more. And now it is officially not the box office report. So
think about this for a second, though. Since we started this podcast, or let's just say since you've been alive even, did you ever think there would just be no box office ever?
I mean, I never even entertained the notion. Like, it's not even anything I've ever thought about and dismissed because, like, why wouldn't there be, you know?
Right. I mean, movies are such a part of life, and, you know, you would think at least for as long as you can remember, you know, or not as long as you remember, but I mean, for recent years, one comes out a week, maybe two, maybe five, six lately. Like, to the fact that there would just be no movies, you're right. I would never even think that's a possibility.
No, it's very weird to see zeros on the box office 2 weeks in a row. Like, 1 week, maybe. Maybe there's, like, a weird, you know, something weird happens where it's 1 week and that happens, but not two in a row.
No. Yeah, and I don't think that's going to end anytime soon.
No.
I don't think so either. I think this is all a ploy by Hollywood to close all the theaters. Let me put on my tinfoil hat.
Well, you do have a podcast, so you're halfway there.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Right.
So we should probably go around the virtual table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. I love the fact that we introduce ourselves in the same order, even though we're no longer at a table.
It's muscle memory at this point.
It's a creature of habit. I don't follow my routine, my life will spiral out of control.
Well, then your life must be spiraling because nobody can
follow. You have no idea.
Nobody can follow their routine right now.
Yeah.
So, in case you can't tell or by the references we've made so far, we are doing this virtually. We are social distancing. This is our second episode in the row that we've done that way. And thankfully we did because Joe's house got the Rona.
We did. Yeah, we got hit. We found out actually last Sunday after we recorded.
Wow.
Is when we found out. I'm sure there's all kinds of folks out there that, like us, are stuck inside, but I am legitimately stuck inside. I can't go anywhere for the next 10 days because my wife was exposed.
So let me ask you a question about that real quick.
Yeah.
So if you're doing the social distancing, people can still go to the grocery store and stuff.
Sure.
I'm assuming you can't even do that, correct?
No.
So
no. I mean, I could be a
dog
and do it.
Right.
But no.
Don't.
Is it like legal though? Is it like, I know there's laws about social distancing. If you have it, is it actually illegal to go out and be with people though?
I mean, no, it's not illegal, but I haven't been tested. So, and I don't feel like I have it,
but there's
like, I feel fine.
That's part of the problem, right? You can have it
right.
and never develop symptoms, or your symptoms could develop tomorrow, but you've had it for 4 days. Like you,
correct?
You don't know. So, right. So how are you getting the things? Like, how are you?
So our rule, like we've Instacarted a lot,
sure.
And then I have met them, like, I've gone to the front, like, I see them, you know, I know they're here. I go to the front door, and I was like, hey, just a heads up, like, just, if you just want to leave that stuff right there on the like, not the porch, but, like, the concrete, like, before the steps.
Right, right.
Just leave it there, and I will come get it. And that way, like, you go back to your car, like, it's all good, like, we, you know, I'll walk out there and go get it. That way, there's no... cross contamination. We don't, you know, we don't touch hands or anything.
Right.
We actually got Grubhub yesterday, and the dude was wearing gloves. So like, I wasn't, you know, he had gloves and a mask on, so I wasn't that concerned about it. So I just kind of took the food from him.
Right.
But yeah, for the most part, we're Insta. It's crazy too, because like Instacart. Let's see. So I placed an order Friday. And it said the first available delivery date is today.
Oh, wow.
Like, that's how back... And now, Instacart's going on strike.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, so, like, starting on Monday, they're not delivering.
What are they trying to do?
I mean, maybe it's just a safety concern,
yeah,
is what I would guess. So I mean, it's just like those stupid idiots at GameStop. We're like, we're essential. We need to stay open. It's like, well, no, you're not. Like, so it's not that important.
Is it a strike, or the company's just like, this is too dangerous now and we're not going to do it?
I think it's the drivers who are saying we're not doing it.
Interesting.
Yeah. That was my
because
impression.
It's like a gig for hire. So like they could just stop doing it. They don't have to announce it. They could just be like, nah, I'm out, you know?
Yeah, that was my I mean, it made headlines. I didn't read the headline. Like, I have given up reading any sort of news at this point, just because it's just nonstop doom and gloom.
Yeah.
And well, after a week of it, I'm like, I can't do it anymore. Like, I just can't.
I've got an article if you guys want to hear what Instacart is doing.
Yes, please.
Yeah, yeah.
So according to CNN Business, this is from Saturday, so about 19 hours ago it said it was posted. Instacart shoppers plan strike over treatment during pandemic. The article out of New York says some Instacart shoppers are planning to strike on Monday, accusing the company of not providing them enough protections during the coronavirus pandemic. The strike is being called for by Instacart shoppers and a newly formed nonprofit called Gig Workers Collective. So I guess they've got their own kind of union thing now. It was first reported Friday by Vice. In a quote, they say Instacart has still not provided essential protections to shoppers on the front lines. That's interesting. That could prevent them from being carriers, falling ill themselves, or worse. Instacart shoppers and Gig Workers Collective. Oh, so shoppers. I'm sorry. I was confused. So shoppers.
I was
like,
too.
Shoppers are the guys that are going to the store.
Employers.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was struggling with that too at first, because I'm like, well, if I'm a shopper, I just want you. There's lots of apps I don't shop with. I'm not on strike.
Yeah.
But that's what they refer to the people that are doing the shopping on your behalf.
Yes. Yeah. It's like, this is such a newer thing. Like, we're not totally familiar with the lingo. So I get
right.
it. So basically they're just saying that Instacart is not probably providing masks and stuff. All the people are, I'm guessing, providing all this themselves, and they're like, you know, if we're gonna do this, you should at least pay to, you know, protect us. Or maybe you know, I'm just speculating here because they're vague with the not providing protections, but maybe like they're not providing enough, like, you know, like the person has to come meet them outside or leave it. Like, maybe they want more of those kind of.
But in fairness, I mean, Instacart isn't in every city. Like, they, you know what I mean? Like,
no.
How are they supposed to provide those things, especially if those things at the moment are kind of ungettable, right? And so,
yeah, it's tough, man. Like, it is. I've never seen. It's funny. I just saw a meme the other day that said, "For millennials," which I am a millennial, unfortunately, by like a year. But it's just like our formative teenage years. We had this massive terrorist attack. In our early 20s, we had a crippling recession. In our, you know, like early to mid adulthood, we've had this pandemic. Like, what the hell? Our middle age? Like, what are we gonna? What's next? What could possibly be next?
Wham.
Coming down the pike for us?
I grew up knowing that at any moment there could be a full scale nuclear war,
yeah,
and
they made
for TV movies about it. Like, hey, here's how awful nuclear war is going to be.
Yeah,
like,
right.
So I'm reading a little bit further in the article, which is probably good to do. And it says, it says demands include providing workers with safety items, including hand sanitizer, disinfectant wipes, sprays, hazard pay, and an expansion of its coronavirus pay to include those with underlying health conditions. The workers specified in the Medium post that they wanted an extra $5 per order and a default tip of at least 10% of the total.
I feel like that's not unreasonable.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, to me it sounds pretty reasonable, but I don't know what the financials of, you know, that may make them lose money on every order, and then, you know, I don't know how it works.
But if it's an add-on, like, then the consumer's paying it, not the company. The company's right. concerned that yeah. they'll get fewer orders if they switch to that. But honestly, right now, people are just going to pay it. I mean, I don't want to encourage people to gouge, but also this is that's a real thing at the moment. You know what I mean? That it's like
yeah.
that they are risking themselves, and it's not yeah. something you want to do. You're hiring this person to go brave a pandemic so you don't have to.
Right.
So if
right.
there's an extra fee for that, like an extra reasonable fee for that, that seems fair to me.
Yeah, to me it's like if you're not like if it's 10% of the order and $5 and like that person is willing to go out to a store and buy my stuff for me, sure.
Well, yeah. here's the deal. Like, when you talk about essential businesses, it's like this is the perfect example, first of all, yeah. of an essential business. Second of all, I guarantee you why they're doing this is because you've got a bunch of assholes out there not tipping them when they're out here. So they're probably...
Oh, for sure.
I guarantee
for
they're
sure.
out here doing this for virtually free without a guaranteed tip. So I agree. I'm all for this because I just know the way it is. I mean, you know that you've been to restaurants and talked to, you know, Katie, my wife, used to be a server, like... People will just not tip and be like, well, no.
Did you just stop yourself from saying waitress?
Well, she was a bartender and a server.
Okay.
So like,
I was like, are we not allowed to say waitress anymore?
No, I was trying to think of how to describe it because she was mainly a bartender, but she would also okay. have tables, you know?
I'm with you.
So, but like, there are people out there that, I mean, I definitely think it's a minority of people, but there are people out there that are like, yeah, it's not my job to tip. Like, the business should pay them more. And they don't understand how the whole economy of servers yeah. and bartenders works and all that. So you just got to imagine that people are Instacarting and having people buy $200 worth the groceries and they're like just not tipping them.
Ugh,
which would be
so
crazy
scummy.
Using your gas, you're braving the pandemic. Like, I'd be fed up too and knowing that some people are doing that. So I agree, like, yeah, just tack it on there, and if people don't want to use that service, they can get their asses out there and shop for themselves.
Yeah, right. You right? can go to Schnucks and you know, brave the whatever's left on the shelves.
Yeah, good luck.
So you're using one ply toilet paper because everything, all the good stuff is gone.
Yeah. Oh, I picked up more toilet paper on Friday.
Smart man.
I
don't know why.
I had to stand in line. I had to stand in line to get into a Costco.
What?
It's crazy.
What was it? Like the old thing where you have to have like a ticket to like
rations
when you get an autograph or something. Yeah. You're like, if you don't have this ticket, you don't get the autograph.
Yeah. So have either of you guys? Well, I guess Joe hasn't, but have you
nope.
been to a Costco recently?
Nope. I haven't been to Costco. I went to Sam's Club, but I think it was like right before
Sam's is
all
not.
This
so
happened.
I went to Costco and Sam's on the yeah. same day, and they're handling it yeah. totally different. So Sam's is okay. like, come on in, whatever. Costco is like a trendy New York nightclub. So okay. they only are letting people in the. They won't let have more than 128 people in the store at the time, and they're letting
what a weird number.
And they're letting. Well, now that might vary from store to store based on size.
Oh, okay,
you know,
okay.
but and I think that includes staff because there was hardly anybody in. They were letting us in like 10 at a time, and we had to line up out front. There's a guy with a clicker. It was like waiting to get into a nightclub. I had to blow a bouncer to get into Costco.
It must be like 25% of the occupancy or something.
Yeah, and so
that's probably true. That's probably true.
And so then, like, when you go to the register, instead of just going up to a register, you go to like a stop point, and then someone points you to that register when it's empty, and then you
do they have big plexiglass like in front of the register?
Yes, they put up the plexiglass.
Ah, okay.
And then
okay.
you hold your membership card, and they scan it, right? Like, you don't
okay.
hand them your card anymore. And then, wow. And then on the way out, they just like look at your receipt. They don't like, they used to take it and put a check mark on it. Now they just look at it and they're like, you're good, whatevs.
Yeah, close enough.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I've never really understood that anyway. That's such a weird thing. Like when you have two carts or a huge cart full of stuff and the person looks at your receipt and they're just like, oh, yep. I mean, like,
I mean, so when I was in grade school, we used to have like a snack shack.
Okay.
And we would like, and if you worked for student council, you would go on like a Wednesday or what it took to Costco, and you would go and get stock up for the next week. You know, that's
by
Wednesday
the Hershey
was, like,
bars
the stock
and
up
whatnot.
Day.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I, from what I remember, is like they would look for. It's almost like a lawyer. They would look for like certain items
on
the receipt, and then like look for those one or two items, and then they'd be like, "Nah, it's close enough."
It's like a spot check, like
These Catholic kids are fine; they're not going to steal. Because
it's Sam's. Well, joke's on them, but it's Sam's.
Yeah, I know.
like they have a scanner at the door, and they just scan one item in the cart, and then I guess if it's not in the cart, so I think they're just playing the law of averages.
Oh, I see.
And I think it's also an intimidation factor that if you're gonna
sure.
if you're gonna steal, you know, you got to run this gauntlet, and like you're rolling the dice that they're gonna scan something you actually paid for. I do also think it's a protective measure to make sure that, like, did they scan the dog food that's on the bottom of the cart, or if you bought an add-on, like I've had them buy stamps, and they'll be like, "Did you get your stamps?" Like, oh, yeah, they totally forgot to hand me the stamps, and I'd go back and get them. So, I mean, I think it serves that purpose, too. But so, Joe, so the Rona. So your wife actually has it.
Yes.
And so what experience is she having at the moment?
So it's, I would put it somewhere between like a mild flu and a medium cold. Like, it's definitely not like just like a chest cold. There's definitely some other symptoms going on, but I don't want to downplay. I understand that, like, everybody's experience with this thing is different.
Sure.
And our experience so far, knock on wood, hasn't been as bad.
So, I'm guessing, like, you guys are healthy, though. Like, you guys are mid-30s healthy.
Your,
like,
wife is young. She's 12.
We are late 30s and healthy.
But not to try to, I'm not trying to, like, give me your whole health history, but I'm just saying, for the most part, like, you don't, there's not underlying conditions that would exacerbate
No.
Okay.
There's been plenty of exacerbating, I'll tell you that.
Well, yeah, because you can't touch her.
I know, that's what I'm talking about.
There's I set lots that of, one up for you. You're welcome.
Lots of exacerbation. So, but she, the doctor,
so she's never had a fever.
The doctor during this period, though, instructed her to give you a hall pass, though, right? So,
I mean, a hall pass, like I can walk down the hallway. Like, that's as far as I've made it in this house. So we've never had no fever, none of the scary symptoms that have been reported. She's basically had, so she was exposed on last Tuesday. No. Yes. Last Tuesday.
Can you say
she got the call? Like,
can you say how she was exposed?
I cannot.
Okay.
Yeah. I can tell you off air.
Yeah.
But I can't say it on air.
Oh, okay. Well, it was her hall pass.
Yeah, right.
They're swingers.
So, like, after we were recording, I fell asleep on the couch because I work at night. And then she came down and she was like, look, this is, you know, I was exposed. She got tested on that Sunday. So a week ago she was tested. And the result. And then so as soon as she found out on Sunday, we went in lockdown.
Right.
Like, we didn't leave the house. I told work and work. I'll give my work credit, and they've been great. Like, they've been very accommodating. So I feel bad for the folks out there that aren't getting paid, you know?
Right.
Like, that sucks. I get it. And I think that's I'm not going to get on a political soapbox, but I think this is a great example of why maybe there needs to be some changes in healthcare and sick time and things like that.
Yeah. So are
they
really
unemployed, I think, right now?
Yeah. Which is insane.
At one time, like, just, I mean, that's so far, like, 3 million almost instantly they had to deal with.
But it's, right. It's not relevant.
Go ahead, Tom.
It's not relevant according to the.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying.
Literally what they
yeah.
said. Those numbers aren't relevant. So anyway, so are they making you burn PTO sick time, or are they just like, no, you're good?
No, I'm burning sick time, which is fine. Sure. Like, I had plenty built up. If it goes past what I have, I will be paid.
Gotcha. But you got to use your stuff first.
I got to use my stuff
first.
Seems
fair.
So we found out, and then we went lockdown on Sunday. Uh, every, you know, the she got the results back on Tuesday. That's how long this took. Sunday to Tuesday is how, I mean, and that was her like calling and pressuring for information.
Right.
Like there was no, you know, and then as of Tuesday, we found out she had tested positive and then we were locked down again. Like, so then your 14 days start from the positive test.
From when the results come back or when you took the test?
From when the results come back.
So if they take, so if you get it back in 2 days, your 14 days starts in. If you get it back in 5 days, your 14 days starts then.
Yep.
That's interesting.
Dumb.
Yep.
Okay. So did she freak out when she found out she had corona, or was she just like, well, I guess it looks like I got the Rona?
We thought that, I mean, we kind of had this discussion. We thought that one of the two of us were going to get it. We're both in public service.
Right.
So, like, we are around people all the time. Her clientele is a little bit different than mine, so she was probably at higher risk than I was. But we've kind of figured that one of the two of us were going to get it.
Right.
So it was just a matter of figuring out what our life was going to be like for the next month and a half, or for the next half a month rather, you know, with the girl. So Gwen, our youngest, was kind of our main concern. She was born, like 2 months early.
Right.
And they had to give like a steroid shot to increase the development of her lungs.
Okay.
So that is kind of our concern. But so far everybody has been perfectly healthy with the exception of my wife.
Right. So with the symptoms she's manifesting, if she did not know she was exposed, if she had not been tested, would she think that she had something, or would she just think, I feel a little under the weather, but power through?
I think so. Gwen had been sick, like the week before with a cold, which was fine. Like, that's the thing is like, and then I got the cold.
Right.
So if we hadn't found out that she had been, tested positive, we would have just assumed that she got the cold.
Right.
Like that's the level, of symptoms that she had. Is that it was basically, it just felt like a, you know, like, and we're adults, right? Like, we just power through stuff,
right?
You know,
yeah.
We're not,
you get the sniffles
all
the time.
What else
are
you gonna do, right? We gotta go to work, we gotta take the kids to the class, we, you know, you just power through. So that's the scary part.
That's the problem. And it's not
right.
your fault.
Yeah.
It's just that's the problem worldwide is that, so you've not only have people that know they have it, you have all these people that don't have any symptoms. And then you've got the other people that have symptoms of something small. And they're just like, yeah, like you said, life is normal. Like we gotta, we're adults, we go to work, all that stuff. So it's scary because that can be spread from, you know, A and B group, you know, which again, not that they're doing anything selfish or bad. It's just that they don't know. And then someone with a weakened immune system interacts with them, or even, you know, it, depending on how long it could last, you touch something, you cough, some particle gets on something, and then someone unsuspecting comes along and gets it. And it's like that could be game over.
Right. We were actually, I was going to go start the cars because they haven't been started in 5 days.
Yeah.
And I was like, how long does this thing sit like on a surface? And she was like, oh, it could be like 17 days. I was like, well, I'm not starting your car. Like, I'm not going to take any, like our hugs and like our only physical interaction have been like chest bumps. Just like, hey, good game. All right. See you later. Bye. Don't touch me.
Yeah, it varies. I don't remember the exact thing, but like different surfaces have different times. So there's like, you know, metal surface. I don't want to say the wrong stats and we can probably look it up, but I know that like some surfaces are like 8 hours, some are 2 days. It's
I think it depends on how porous a surface is.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So,
and then the other part that sucks is if, either of the girls or myself test positive or start to develop symptoms, that 14 days starts
over. Right.
Yeah. So then I'm stuck in here for another 14 days.
So, but now that she has gotten it, she shouldn't be able to re-get it, right?
Who, Leanne?
Yeah.
Correct.
So now she's got like a superpower.
Well, yeah, that's all, you know, that's, she's like our own, she's going through a metamorphosis. She's like her own inhuman.
Right. She can, she can go undercut all the Instacart workers because she's not worried anymore, right? How much
exactly.
You want to bet if Instacart does this, these companies are so shitty, they're going to be like, oh, you've already had the corona? Well, then we don't have to pay you all this
extra money.
We don't
have to pay you.
Oh, jeez.
Right.
So but, I looked up, and this is from about a week ago, so you know I know things are rapidly evolving, but at least on this study, they said that analysis shows the virus can remain viable in the air for up to 3 hours. So think about that, just going in and breathing recycled air from someone 3 hours ago, on copper for 4 hours, on cardboard for 24 hours. So cardboard, all those Amazon packages you're getting, 24 yeah. hours, and plastic and stainless steel for up to 72 hours. So it's invisible. I mean, yeah. I know most sicknesses are, but I mean, you could not even be thinking of it. So like, oh yeah, I'm getting this box, or this box has been sitting here for, you know, 10 hours or whatever. Like at that point, you may not be thinking about washing your hands right after, because this is something that's been sitting there, right? Like you're not in protection mode. Like, hey, I'm out in the store, I'm on full alert. You're at your home and you got some mail. I mean,
so my wife ordered me, like, shorts for my birthday. Mm-hmm. They came from Hong Kong, and I was like, I don't think I'm getting those shorts.
Did you get some shorts?
Well, they're like, I don't even know how to describe them. They're kind of like yoga pants, I guess.
Gross.
Yoga is like pants. The only way I put them on, and she was just like, oh, apparently Asian men aren't built like you. And I was like, no, they're not. I have the thighs and butt of an athlete, and they don't.
Oh, all like those, because all those Asian sizes run way small, way small.
She goes, oh, now I get it. I go, what are you talking about? And she was like, now I understand yoga pants. And I was like, what? Oh, are you looking at my butt? And she was like, yeah.
Sounds like bicycle
even,
shorts.
Even her, they are close.
Yeah.
Like even her mom said something, and I was like, well, that's all right.
Now you made it weird.
So yeah, I know. Yeah.
So now that obviously you guys are in a house with someone that has it, I would think that doctors and testing would take you as like a priority testing person. Are you after 14
honestly,
days going to get tested?
I don't know.
I mean,
I'm not sure unless I present symptoms. No.
But you had direct contact. I mean,
dude, you don't even like so other like horror stories.
Yeah.
I have a friend of my wife's took their two daughters who were running high fevers to the hospital, and they wouldn't test them. Like, they couldn't for sure say that they had a direct contact with somebody, but their two kids who were running high fevers, they're like, I don't know, here's an inhaler, $400.
But you got to go to the drive-through things now. Those are set up, so I think you can go to those.
I don't even know if you get, like, I know that they have loosened the criteria to get tested.
Yeah.
But I don't think they've loosened it enough. Like, it's still a pretty tight thing to get tested.
Well, you saw the numbers go up. I mean, if anyone is still doubting how serious this is, which I don't know how with the data that's out there, but if you're doubting it, so on Friday, I was just telling Tom this yesterday, or maybe the end of Thursday, there had been 1,000 deaths due to coronavirus in the U.S. And on Saturday, yeah, it was over 2,000 deaths. So yeah, you're talking
about
in like the span of a day and a half, you know, between those two numbers, it doubled. And I mean, what's changed from Thursday to now, like as far as what precautionary measures, what other laws, like nothing's changed and it's already doubled. So if you can see that trend, unless we do something else, it's not just going to go, okay, we got these 2,000, now we're good. Like, this is a real problem.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's a big problem. And you know, he who will not be named, I will not give him a lot of credit, but I mean, talking to, what do you get, GM? Like GM to start building ventilators? Well, it's like, why didn't we do that forever ago?
Yeah,
like, let's move on this.
They were, like, and then they weren't, then they were again. Like,
I get that, like, this is a kind of unprecedented in modern times. Like, what was it? The Spanish flu was like the last time anything on this level happened. But it's like, come on, like the people, like it's bad. Like it's not a joke. Like it's not a hoax or anything like that. Like this is some serious stuff. And you know, that's where I'll leave it. I don't.
What's the number? I mean, I talked to Tom about this in the chat privately. You know, just because I told him those alarming numbers. I'm like, this is crazy, as we've thought it has been for a while now. But like, what's the magic number? You went from 1,000 deaths to 2,000.
Yeah, right.
From Thursday to Saturday, 1,000 to 2,000. What is the number where they go, oh yeah, this is really serious. We knew it was bad, but like, this is, let's, we're not going to mess around anymore. Like, country's on lockdown. Let's make a national law. Like, what do you think the number is, Joe? What?
It, to me, the number should be one.
Right. It, I mean,
well, I think
that's the number.
I would, one is not the number. One person dies all the time.
Okay, like, that's fair.
You know,
that's fair.
Like, so like, that's maybe swinging the pendulum too far the other way.
That's fair.
But I do wonder if that number is going to be 3,000, because then people are going to say it's worse than 9/11.
Oh, is that what the number was for 9/11? Was three
around there? I don't know the exact number, but it's around 3,000.
Okay, yeah, that's a good point, and that's really all we as Americans we can compare it to in modern,
right? Yeah,
in modern day, you know,
we're
like that's
pretty protected, and we've been
the thing that made our country stop.
Yeah, because I mean, because we're pretty sheltered as a nation from things like this, because we have put all these measures in place that protect us from things like this, and then we dismantled them.
Right.
So,
well, we didn't.
Well, no, we elected someone and he did. So we did.
Correct.
Yeah, we did.
Well, all right, fair.
That's how democracy works.
True. That's how democracy works.
Right. So I mean, we did.
Right now, I mean, this recording, as all podcasts are time capsules, and so we had mentioned that on Saturday midday they had just crossed 2,000 deaths. We're recording Sunday morning and they're at 2,229. So that's how how quickly it's moved.
3,000 is definitely,
I mean,
not in the, like, that could still happen.
I mean, 3,000, I'm honestly, it'll probably,
it's going to happen.
It'll probably happen tomorrow. By the time you're hearing this episode, you will
maybe
already know the answer to this question.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But so, it's like, what will it, I mean, how long are people that still don't believe it's serious going to sit around and say it's not serious? Like, these are legit numbers, as in, I mean, they've been for a while now, but I can't comprehend a person going, yeah, it's not that bad. Like, this is crazy.
Well, I think,
no, it's that bad.
But I think what you're going to see, though, is the number's not going to matter. It's going to be when it hits your neighborhood, because right now, I think a lot of people, it's regional. And if you live in the middle of the state of Missouri and you're like, well, but that's people in New York. Like, you know, that's Seattle.
Sure.
That's not us. That won't happen here. And
right.
So.
And then all of a sudden, you don't have a neighbor.
Right. And well, and the other problem, you know, too, is it's going to take a lot less to do damage in those smaller areas. Because, I mean, you get into the boot heel of Missouri, as we call it. I mean, how many ventilators do you think that hospital has?
For sure.
You know,
that's a great point.
There's a good chance it's only got four or five, and you know,
maybe
so,
maybe,
yeah, so you're gonna overwhelm that hospital real quick. So anyway, enough of Corona Corner.
But yeah, so I mean, just so everybody knows, like, we're okay.
Yeah,
like, every, this house is okay, like, my house is fine. We're just waiting it out.
Yeah,
that's kind of what we're doing. So
is there any movie news to speak of?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's little stuff here and there. I don't remember what was canceled the last time we talked, but I mean, it's been, we know that Wonder Woman was pushed. Pretty much everything that's in the recent, or like the upcoming for the next months, like, it's basically until further notice. I mean, there's no timeline of theaters opening back up. And they had even, like, China thought they were kind of over this. Like, they had, you know, done their isolation thing and the numbers were going way down. And they actually opened theaters back up. They were doing, like, old movies. They were putting Avengers back in theaters. They did a re-release of, or at least were planning to do, a Harry Potter 3D. So the first movie redone in 3D. And they closed their theaters back down. So, I mean, I think it was silly for them to even try. But it just shows you how serious it is that they're like, yeah, nope, not doing it.
Yeah, it's just I think that's the scary part, is like, there's just when you think you're okay.
Yeah.
It's almost like a horror movie, right? Yeah. Like, almost when you think you've made it to the end and you've killed the monster, at the last possible second, the monster comes back and it's just like, well, I guess we're doing a part two. Great. Fantastic.
Yeah, that's the whole, like, going back too soon thing. That's the scary part when people are talking about, like, yeah, I want people back in public by Easter. It's like,
whoa,
you're gonna risk everyone. I mean, yeah, it may seem like it's getting better for a second, but if you go back too soon, you're just throwing people right back into it.
It is. I would compare it to, like, a sports injury. Is like, unless you're completely healed and you come back too soon and you're going back at the same speed you were going before, yeah, you're going to get hurt again. Like, that's that injury isn't going to be better unless you're completely healed, and it's gonna take some time. Like, it's not gonna, this is not an easy fix.
Yeah, I think that's a good analysis. So, I mean, movie theaters closed indefinitely, releases closed indefinitely. We've still got Trolls World Tour, which was the first one that was announced that would go straight to VOD, that's like a theatrical level movie. That one's going to be coming out here pretty soon.
Do we know the pricing on that yet?
Say it one more time.
Do we know the pricing on that yet?
That one was going to be a $20 rental.
Gotcha. I just thought it was interesting because, like, I would love to see some stats on how many people are renting a movie at that price point, because
I'm in the same boat,
because I had a lady I work with, so she likes movies but not like we like movies, but she goes all the time and she was like, oh, recommend a movie for me to watch. So I just texted back, oh, Invisible Man, and she's like, yeah, we saw that, but $20 to rent, no thanks. And like, it's, you know, and
That's a big price.
And I was like, well, but she like lives in a house with like four or five people, and I'm like, divide that. If you went to the movie theater, you could go see Invisible Man for $5 a person, you wouldn't think twice. But there's just, I think, a psychological hurdle for a lot of people.
I was gonna say that. Yeah, it's like this invisible barrier. But
right.
I mean, I'm still sticking with the same thing I've been saying for weeks. If you have more than two people in a household, I mean, that's an average $10 a ticket price. The national average, which, you know, is like $9.50 or whatever, and that's including places that are like $20 or $18 in New York, LA. So if you have, I get for like single people that are paying it for one person, it's expensive. But man, if you got a family of four watching Trolls for $20, that's a bargain.
Yep.
I wonder.
I mean, take out the concessions and all that stuff.
Right. I wonder if you'll see different areas being more apt to get over that hump because movie ticket prices are more expensive. Like, so are people in New York more apt to to pay a $20 rental fee than somebody in, you know, Wyoming,
Paducah?
It has to. Yeah. I mean, it has to. New Yorkers, LA, they're used to $17, $18 tickets. I mean, for them, a $20 in your own home and be safe surcharge. Yeah.
Plus,
like,
they might have to pay to park.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, exactly. There's not like, you know, I mean, if you do have a car, yeah, there's probably paid parking everywhere. And then if not, you're taking a taxi and paying them to get there. So, yeah, I it's a totally different thing. And that's like their AMC Stubs in New York and LA. I think they have to have like the $23 or $24 one because that includes the East and West Coast theaters, where ours is $20 a month because, you know, yeah.
Because, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, ticket prices aren't quite as expensive here.
So what happens if you have the AMC Stubs but you happen to be traveling in LA and want to see a movie?
You've got to upgrade to that plan.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of scummy.
It only works, like, you can only reserve those theaters. It's tiered. And again, it's like, ours is 20. The one that expands it to a little bit further outside the Midwest is 22. And then I think the coasts are 24, maybe 25 a month. But it's just because, again, I mean, it's like, if you don't pay that extra $3, you could buy a $18 ticket, but that's not going to help you much.
Yeah.
You know?
No.
No, I get it. I didn't realize that that's how they did it. So I got my first screener link for an upcoming film. And it's a smaller movie, but normally I think this is a big enough movie that I don't think we would have gotten a screener link for it normally. So normally on the art house movies, it's not uncommon on the really small ones for them to just send a screener link rather than doing an actual screening. But this was for Never Rarely, Sometimes Always. And that's a fairly decent size art house movie, right? Like,
oh, interesting.
And so they sent on Friday, sent a thing about, do you want a link for this? So I was like, yes, please, because what else am I going to do?
But what's the studio on that one?
Hang on. Let me look and see.
Sure.
Let me put on my readers.
Oh, yes.
Because I know they pulled that new Kamel Nanjiani movie.
It's going straight
to
Netflix.
That's going straight to Netflix.
Yeah. Focus. It's a Focus feature.
Focus? Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to think. I think they do screeners sometimes, but, you know, it doesn't mean they always do them, so.
Yeah. I feel like this was, like, this did really well in the festival circuit and seemed like it was getting a bigger push than some of the smaller, you know, art house movies that never leave the art house. Like, those I get screener links throughout the year all the time on. That wouldn't be surprising, but this one had seemed to be getting some pretty solid buzz at the same time. So I just thought that was interesting that, like, we're starting to see that, you know?
Yeah.
Already.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you know.
Well, it's tough. I mean, if your studio has a movie, and if especially if they are going to try to release it on digital platforms, like, I mean, they've still got to get reviews out there.
Totally.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised I haven't gotten more. Like, I would have thought, you know, it was weird for a minute there, like, Netflix was sending us screener links to review movies. And then they just stopped, and I don't understand why they did. But because I got that, I got a screener link for that Kevin Costner, Woody Harrelson, early days of the FBI, where like Bonnie and Clyde from the point of view of the Justice Department, kind of a thing. And there was another one, and I think what they might be struggling with is that they want you to watch it within the Netflix platform. Right.
Mm. Oh,
but not
sure.
Everyone has Netflix. And so they did a thing where they're like, oh, well, they just comped everybody Netflix for a month. And I even emailed back. I'm like, I've already got Netflix. Like, you don't have to comp this. Like, I'm totally. And they were like, and then they were like, we don't have a way to not comp it. Like, we either comp it for all the critics or we don't comp it at all. And so I was just like, OK. So like they skipped charging me Netflix for a month. And then I reviewed that, and I can't. There was one other movie that they did through that platform, and it was weird. Like, you like logged in and you synced it with your Netflix account, and then it showed up like you just had an extra tab within Netflix for like,
oh,
like
interesting,
media or promo or something like that. And like that, and those were the two movies that I could watch within that. And then when they went live, then they went away in that other tab, and. But they've never circled back around and done it again. And then at the end of the year, when they were doing like sending out screeners for awards consideration, they just sent them all on DVD, and they didn't. Which is really odd.
That seems like would be like too expensive.
Yeah, like
I mean, not too expensive for Netflix, but like that. I feel like as a cost saving measure,
right.
It's just like just. Go to the Netflix tab. Like, there they are.
Right. Like, just, prove you're a critic, and we'll upgrade your plan, and you'll be able to get all these things. Like, I don't... Yeah.
Yeah, right.
I don't know.
You know, I think the problem is, though, that Netflix, first of all, they're so different, and they're trying to get into the awards game, and they've been successful in places, and sometimes not, but, you know, they're trying to become this more mainstream, and we make movies that can make awards, and you've got all the other studios sending out screeners. I think they just don't want to make it a hassle for critics to watch their stuff, like, even to be like, I've got to prove I'm a critic, and then give me that tab. Like, they're just like, you know, give us your address, we'll send you a screener, throw it in your pile of screeners, and that way you're not, like, that's not one more cog in the system.
Immediately, I thought, if you want a tab, kid, you got to order something.
I think there's also probably an element of, like, when you get the screener in the mail, it's a notification that you now have access to this movie. But if they just, like, we've added it to this thing, and then how do they tell you? They send you an email, one more of a million emails that you get, or do they send you a thing
that
in the
you
mail
disregard?
That looks like a screener but says, but it's in your Netflix queue? Like, I mean, I think there's also, it probably feels a little bit like unilateral disarmament if you're not actually pushing it in front of people and being in their screener pile as you're going through that at the end of the year.
Yeah, I agree. Did you guys know that Ryan Reynolds is looking at being a part of a Dragon's Lair movie?
Not just being a part of, producing and starring.
Like, what? I mean...
That seems perfect.
I like Dragon's Lair as much as the next person, but I don't know that I needed this.
Do we really need anything at this point? Like, is it just
you
like...
You know what? You didn't know you needed a Lego movie.
Yeah. I think Dragon's Lair totally could work as a movie.
Yeah, with his kind of meta comedy, because they're going to do the Deadpool meta thing where Dirk the Daring's going to be like looking at the camera after he's died 20 times and like talking. You know what I mean? Like, that's what they're going to set it up for. And with him, I mean, he's the guy that can make it work, certainly. I had not heard of this. And then I'm like, Ryan Reynolds in a Dragon's Lair movie. Okay.
If it works, I want a Space Ace movie.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
That's what I would love.
Got it.
But he's got that one coming out well, oh. supposed to come out this summer.
Yeah.
Where he's like, he's an NPC, right?
Yeah, that should be, I mean, that was supposed to be pretty funny. I don't know if it had shown at a festival or something, or if it was just buzz, but yeah, that's like, I can't remember, Free Man or something. Or
is that what, yeah, something. Free Guy or something? Free,
yeah, yeah.
I remember Dragon's Lair is the first video game that cost more than a quarter. That's when it's
man. Well, you had that Don Bluth animation.
Oh yeah, I mean, but it was like
that was that yeah.
And those and Space Age, but those were the first ones where it was like 50 cents to play the game, and then Dragon's Lair was like you would die so quick. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, right, like, right, right.
You know, because it was basically just flipping a coin over and over again. You know,
yeah. You're just like, well,
yeah.
All right, I guess I'll pump another $7 in this.
And
machine.
Those machines were always getting broken because, if memory serves, it was essentially a giant Laserdisc player.
Yeah,
that was.
Yeah,
and so it was like if somebody would like jostle the machine, get mad, and like you know, and it would like throw that disc out of alignment, and so the, so those machines were always down, always down.
Yeah. Oh my gosh! Well, look at arcades now. I mean, if you even go to an arcade,
do they have arcades now? Like, is that even a thing?
Dave and Buster's would be your closest chain, but there's a lot of games there that cost what is equivalent to $2 per play.
Oof!
Yeah,
$2 a play. Like, I try to teach Ryan. I'm like, we can either get the pass to play games all day, and you don't get tickets because tickets are worthless. Like, I'll buy you whatever you want in there for 4 cents. But you know, I'm like, we can either play all day and have fun, or you can have like 10, 15 bucks, you know, after we eat or whatever, and you can play the ticket games. But you're gonna have more fun with the other stuff, and then you're not just gonna get like 10 Tootsie Rolls and a kazoo. For $20, you know, it's just crazy. So it's
Ryan,
like all the
Ryan doesn't see the value of a mustache comb.
Yeah,
I haven't been to Dave and Buster's in forever. I didn't know they had like a pass that you could.
Yeah, that's the new thing. And like even Chuck E. Cheese tried to replicate it on their like non-ticket winning games, because the arcade machines are just sitting there, like with home video game consoles, with mobile gaming, people just won't go to arcades anymore. So they figure, let's lease this real estate. And yeah, Dave and Buster's is like, sometimes they do, and it may be certain days, but it's like $20-$25. That's it for all day play, racing games, you know, shooter games, fighter games, you know, anything that doesn't give you a ticket reward, you know, so you can play Mario Kart and you can play House of the Dead and Star Wars and all this stuff. It's an awesome value.
So do they do anything to stop people from just setting up camp and living in a machine all day?
I mean, I think there's kind of like that unspoken rule where like people line up in a machine and if you die, you know, you should pass it off. And I don't know if they actually enforce it. I'm sure if someone went to a, you know, one of the worker guys in the referee shirts and was like, hey, it's been 3 hours.
Right.
You know, I think they would do something.
He hasn't left to pee. Like, we would like to play that game, please.
It's been so long since I've been in arcades. So like when I would go, it was like you would claim the machine by putting your quarters in the thing top to be like, this is how many times I'm going to play. And then when you're out of quarters, you're supposed to walk away. But
we went for your wedding.
Yeah, that's right. My wedding reception was at a Dave and Buster's. And because
it was great.
Yeah, because it's a second wedding, so it didn't need to be big and fancy. And I don't feel like it was low end. Like, we were still dressed up and stuff. But
no, he gave us each 3 quarters. It was great.
I gave everybody a card with $10 on it. So, and there was food and drink. Like on top of that.
Oh yeah.
But
that was fun. I will tell you what, I would rather go to a wedding at a Dave and Buster's than just a normal wedding where there's an hour ceremony and then you go and there's a dance floor and a buffet or whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was way more fun.
Well,
you know, you just described your wedding.
Yeah.
Did I?
Yeah.
My wedding was pretty cool. But I didn't care because at my wedding.
That's true. That's a good
point. When we were planning it, Crystal was just like, and just so people know, like, we still had the ceremony at a regular place. You know,
it was outside, wasn't
it? It was in like a greenhouse kind of a thing. And then we had the reception at Dave and Buster's. But Crystal was like, if you could have your wedding reception anywhere, what would you do? She's like, if you didn't have to worry about what I thought of it. Because I was just like, our friends don't, we're not dancers. Like, so having a DJ, we'd all just sit there and look at them, you know? And I was like, I'd hire a Chuck E. Cheese. I'd run out of Chuck E. Cheese and put all the games on free play. And just because we knew that, like, the kids, we'd have kids there. And I'm like, just, I know when I was a kid, weddings were awful. Right? Like, they were just
boring.
And And so she was like, and then she was like, she countered with, well, but Dave and Buster's probably wouldn't be that bad. Like, they've got that room. And I was just like, okay. I wasn't expecting a yes. Not unlike when
she's
I proposed.
A sensible woman. Yeah, right.
I was like, oh, she said yes. How about that?
Oh, so, wow. That's not where I saw that going. All right,
yeah,
great.
So it's good. I proposed at Disney World, so at least the rest of the trip won't be weird. But
I guess I feel like I am the odd man out there. Like, I didn't do that. I didn't propose at Disney World. Everybody else on this damn podcast did.
That's true. You're right. Well, you know what? You can always renew your vows at the Cinderella's
Palace.
Yeah,
it was the driveway of my then not mother-in-law's house. That's right.
Well, if you want to not be the odd man out, you can always just do it on your next wedding.
Oh my god!
Oh. If you're really trying to keep up with the Joneses,
yeah, right, exactly.
The only other thing I had, I mean, aside from news stuff, is the number one trending show in, if not America, the world is Tiger King.
I don't know
on
how
Netflix.
It's not the world.
Are you guys all watching Tiger King?
Yeah,
I have not watched it yet.
I think we've got two episodes left. We started watching it yesterday.
Yeah. I feel like this has taken over. I feel like Netflix, I don't know how they did it, but that they could not have timed this any better with everybody being locked inside. They're like, no, put it out now.
I mean,
like, quick, put it out right now. And
they've got a history with the true crime stuff. So Netflix for years has been doing true crime. Starting, I mean, not that it was their first, but
they say, what did they start with?
I mean, Making a Murderer was like,
I think,
the one that put that.
That was the first one that really went viral for them. Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. Right. And then, you know, so they had two of those. They did the, who was it, Aaron Hernandez one?
The Aaron
recently.
Hernandez one was really good.
But they've done these shows, and so they've got this formula where, you know, they're buying, you know, they're not always producing them all. Some of them they buy, some of them whatever. But they know what drives the views on Netflix, and so they've been really good about choosing these shows. And this show is wackadoo. Like, if you still haven't watched Don't F With Cats, I can't recommend.
Oh, that was it.
Yeah, the
Aaron Hernandez one and Don't F With Cats. Yeah.
Like, I can't recommend that one highly enough. But, like, if you like that kind of stuff and you want to see some more just bizarreness, this show is wild. It's all about big cats, and it follows around like all these different intersecting plot lines of people that have like tigers, lions, and there's like three main characters. There's one guy that is like in this little podunk town that has his own zoo with 100, 200 tigers or whatever. And there's another guy that like he emulated that is like in this upscale, fancy, rich area. And he has like five wives and he's basically running a cult. And then there's a cat rescue lady that's trying to take them all down. But
the exact same thing.
Right, but she basically is doing the same thing. But then there's like more through lines of like, oh, but she also may have had her husband murdered. Oh, did I mention that?
Yeah.
Like, it is crazy. It is like if one of these true crime shows meets a soap opera, meets a Jersey Shore. Like, it's wild.
That's funny.
And it's so,
there's actually, I think there
more like
there's a gal on SNL. Like, obviously they can't film SNL. She's not one of the primetime players. She's one of the like
featured,
also starring.
Yeah.
Featured players.
You're saying she's a not ready for primetime player?
That's exactly what I'm saying. Okay. But I guess she is ready for primetime. It doesn't matter. But she did like an impression of that gal.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Well, Kate McKinnon.
I wish I could remember her name. But Kate, she did. It was like she filmed it on her own.
Yeah.
Like, it's just filmed on her phone. But it is spot on and insanely funny.
So there's a podcast that follows the whole saga. So this show is not related to that. This show is a documentary, basically, that was filmed since maybe like 2014. It's been in production for years and years. And and by the way, the Tiger King that I didn't mention was supposed to have his own reality show. And I won't get into what happens with that. But you've got footage from the reality show. You've got footage from the documentary about the reality show. You've got footage. I mean, it's insane. But there was a podcast that told the whole story of how crazy all this was. And so that podcast is being adapted into a movie. And Kate McKinnon is going to play the rescue lady in that version.
Oh, that sounds perfect.
So anyway, it's nuts. But if you haven't seen it, I don't know. There's probably only few people at this point that haven't, but add that to your queue. I know that it's popping up like number one, at least in America, but I would not be surprised about worldwide. That is a must-watch show. And if you haven't seen Don't F with Cats, that's bonkers.
How to Make a Murderer, the Aaron Hernandez doc, Don't F with Cats, Tiger King. Like, they've got some crazy pants stuff.
And then go watch McMillions on HBO. That's another great one.
Oh, yeah, that is a great one. You're right.
So there's tons of this true crime stuff out there. But, you know, people are, I mean, this is the time for these streaming platforms to thrive, and people are looking for content. You know, I know that Matt Singer, I think it's Screen Crush, I think is his. He used to think that Netflix shows were too long. Like, I'll get into this Netflix show, I'll pause it, I'll look at the episodes. Oh, there's 12 episodes? That's a lot of investment. But he's like, now that I'm stuck at home, it's like, there's only 12 episodes? You know, like, give me more. He's like, Tiger
King. To me, man, like, that sweet spot. I agree, though. Like, 12 episodes, if I see something that's that long, it's like, yeah, I don't think so.
It better
like,
be good.
That sweet spot for me is like 6 to 8. Yeah. Yeah. Like, that's the sweet spot. Where I was like, yeah, that's all right. That's, you know, like Supernatural, which, of you know, I've talked about, is, I mean, those are hour-long episodes, and there's 23 to 24 of them. Like, that's a lot. If you miss a season, that's a lot.
I would never watch that show now. I've never seen it, but now I'm like, there's too much of it.
That's the problem.
There's too much.
I mean, obviously, with network TV, you have to fill a season.
Yeah.
You know, I get that. I do recommend at least checking out like the first three seasons. Like, after it gets ridiculous, it gets bonkers,
right?
They're just like, how can we extend this? Oh, I know, we'll add the devil and God. How else can we do it? A fallen angel, that seems reasonable.
But yeah, network TV, it's just, that seems like a thing of the past. It's really hard to invest in those 20 whatever episodes. And I'm with you, Joe. I think the HBO model, the a little bit longer episodes, so like the hour-long episodes, 6 to 8, tell a story. You're committing basically the same as watching 3 or 4 movies, and that's fine. But yeah, if you're talking about 22-hour-long, which is 45 minutes with commercials, that's a big investment.
Absolutely.
Isn't it weird, though, that we talk about, like, The Office and Parks and Rec? Those are 24 episodes, 23 episodes, but they're only half hours. You're just like, yeah, man.
Yeah, it's easy to churn through.
I can knock out half of this season in 2 days.
And it's grandfathered in, right? It was the tail end of network television, so, or the dominance of network television. So it's kind of, you're like, well, but that gets a pass, you know?
And comedies, like, the thing is, I can jump into season 4 of Parks and Rec, episode 11, watch it and be entertained. If I go to season 12 of Supernatural, episode 20, I'm
gonna
be like,
"What?"
You know what I mean? So, like,
you know, Silicon Valley's like that, though. Like, you can't jump into season 3, episode 2 of Silicon Valley and know what the hell's going on.
Yeah, that's not a, like, see, that's the difference, though. It's Parks and Rec, The Office, those, each one of those episodes basically can stand on their own. Even if there are through lines, you can pick up enough and just sit back and laugh and all that. But, you know, a show like Silicon Valley, I mean, they've been building this story since season 1, and you would have no idea where they are, what they've been through, you know, just different animals.
I thought TJ Miller was on this show.
Right? I heard he was on this. So that's all I got. You guys watching anything good? Anything crazy?
No. I mean, you know, WrestleMania they filmed it, apparently.
Oh, it's like, already filmed?
It's filmed. There have been some of the major... Roman Reigns pulled out of WrestleMania, said, I'm not traveling. Like, I'm not... So he was in the main event. Like, he was the number two match of the night, and he said, no, I'm not doing it. He has a compromised immune system. He had leukemia.
Yeah.
So he said, I'm not traveling. So they pulled him out of, like, it's crazy that Vince McMahon went through with, it's not crazy. He's done worse things.
It's Vince McMahon.
But like,
it's
bonkers. So a lot of champions who were supposed to have matches on the card said, nope, I'm not coming. I'm not flying. I'm staying home.
Yeah.
Some of them have been sick and just didn't want to risk it. But it's supposed to happen. Like, they have cut it into 2 nights, so it's supposed to be Saturday, Sunday, or Friday, Saturday. But it's still going on. And some of them, like, I gotta tell you, some of those matches are pretty dope. Like, it's supposed to be Sami Zayn and Daniel Bryan, which, for internet wrestling darlings, like, that would be our main event of any show. So, you know, I don't know what's gonna happen. I don't know what it's gonna look like. They've added some matches that, it sounds like they're going to be filmed off-site. So the John Cena Bray Wyatt match is not going to be filmed at the Performance Center. The AJ Styles Undertaker match is, I assume, not filmed there.
Undertaker, like, is still wrestling?
he comes back for WrestleMania. So
I
like,
mean,
well,
I know,
maybe
but I
that would
that last match. Like,
you know, if I was in charge of wrestling, which God help me, but like maybe that's your answer, right? Maybe you set the matches in cool places. Maybe Undertaker is actually having a fight in a cemetery or something.
It's called a boneyard match.
There you go.
I think they were going to do a cemetery match, but they felt like that may have been a little too insensitive given where we are right now.
Okay.
So they changed it. Well, I'm assuming that's what that's going to be.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like and with the Undertaker, I feel like you can get away with one match a year, right? He can stay healthy throughout the year. He can train and get his body to where it needs to be, where he's not going to get hurt, and he's going to work with a guy who's not going to hurt him.
It's
right,
just,
like
it's
he's not working
rough,
Brock. He's not working Brock Lesnar. He's not working Goldberg. He's working AJ Styles, who's probably one of the best in-ring performers. He is the best in-ring performer right now. The match that they were talking about was going to be the Undertaker and Sting, and then that didn't happen.
Did they scrap the Hogan coming back? I thought he was rumored to try to come back.
That's not happening.
I mean, that dude.
when they took all the screws out of his back and he looked like RoboCop.
Yeah.
Like all of the hardware that was laying on the ground. They're like, this is what was in my back. It's like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen. And maybe he would have been there for like a guest appearance because they were supposed to be in Tampa. But that's not, you know, it sucks because they showed like pictures of what they were building the set. Like it was in the process of being built when everything got shut down and looked pretty cool. Like those WrestleMania sets are always kind of extravagant and massive, but now not so much.
So
now it's
going to
be in.
They don't finish it just for the recording or anything.
Like they filmed at the Performance Center, so like they didn't even go to Tampa. Like it wasn't even there.
That's gonna be weird. But again, I think
it's gonna be weird.
It's one of those curiosity things where people that aren't even that into wrestling are gonna be like, "What WrestleMania with no crowd? That sounds weird."
In this tiny little building.
Yeah. All right.
But yeah, that's about it. Oh, Diamond shut down. That was the other big thing.
What?
No comic book.
Yeah,
no
comic books. The distributor. Diamond is the distributor for comic books. So that's who gets the comics to the shops.
Is there only one?
So yes.
Yeah, there used to be two a million years ago. There was Diamond and Capital. Is that right? And
yes, you're right.
And then it just got really hard to. And a lot of shops would toggle back and forth, or a lot of times, too, there'd be certain products that Capital would have and Diamond wouldn't, and so you needed to have accounts with both, and then eventually the industry got so weak, and Diamond just bought Capital, and then they were done.
Right.
But it all...
And now they're done.
Yeah.
So they're not done, but, like, no comic shops are getting new books until Diamond starts back up.
Oh, that's great for business, right? I mean, geez.
Right, so last week was the last week of new books.
So you're going to see a lot of shops go out of business.
Yeah, and we've talked about this in another group thread, and I think there's one shop here in St. Louis that I think will probably survive just based on he has back issues.
Right.
Like, he has a massive... back issue.
But even then, like, I mean, from having worked at a comic book store, I mean, back issues are a negligible part of your business. The bulk of your business is new issues.
And I don't think it is for this shop. Like, All American's kind of like one of the older shops in the city.
Yeah.
So I feel like they have got, like, the back issues is their draw.
Right.
You know, so I just hope.
But you still can't go there.
No, that's true.
You know, and I just feel like with back issues anymore, like if you need one that badly, like you can just go on eBay and buy it. You know, like it's not.
That has become the bane of the bin digger market is like, oh, I'm missing Hellblazer issue 124. Well, I'll just go to eBay or mycomicshop.com.
Right.
And buy that one issue and I'm done. Like it's. So it defeats the old, flipping through a bin and you're like, oh man, this is the last piece.
The hunt is gone.
The hunt is gone.
Right.
Yeah,
you know what's weird? Like, so we talked about that last week and trying to find an issue or if you were trying to find some old DVD that's out of print, whatever, the hunt whole thing. So if comic book stores close and you just have people ordering like, you know, I want my Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or I want my Rick and Morty or my Batman or whatever, my specific comic issue, where does all that inventory go? I can't imagine someone going on eBay and saying, this old, you know, Superman 23 or whatever, Superman 256 is 7 cents. Like, what do they do with all the cheap back issues?
You can't do anything with them.
I mean, no one wants
to
buy
them. You could bundle them. Yeah, if it were me, I would take like 25 comics or 50 comics and say 50 comics for $25.
And there are people that do that.
I have no idea what's in there, but
there are people that
do that. It'd have to be. Yeah. It's just weird to think about that, like, that's going to be a thing of the past, and it's sad, and I feel for everybody, just like, you know, little local theater chains that are struggling. I mean, it sucks for everybody, but, you know, comic books stores are in the position Blockbuster and video stores were, and now look at that.
Yeah.
So,
no, totally.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, we should probably wrap this one up. So, I guess let's just go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. Follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online, Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. Of course, check out our Patreon at Patreon.com/Real Spoilers. $5 a month. All sorts of bonus content, and we like you a little extra. And that's it for this one. Coming up on the next one, we will continue our 0% project with the Corey Haim, Corey Feldman classic, that's in air quotes, Dream a Little Dream. So until then, you've been warned. Have you ever?
Bobby was just a normal teenager.
Is he okay? Ask him if he wants a Pop-Tart.
Until he bumped into Lainey and the Ettingers.
This wasn't supposed to happen.
Oh my God. From him.
Now, Bobby has 3 days to find himself.
That's rude, mister.
To pass high school.
I was that SAT man Saturday afternoon test.
And steal his best friend's girl.
Well, maybe you're not her type.
I'm every girl's type.
Or his future is history.
Thank you for a frightening, confusing, strange, and dangerous time. What more could a girl ask for?
Jason Robards, Corey Feldman, Piper Laurie, Meredith Salinger, Harry Dean Stanton, Corey Haim.
You were expecting maybe Freddy Krueger.
Dream a Little Dream.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.